shall we please in the Gospel by Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 and verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Now chapter 16. And verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this land. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so the thing which we pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. By Mark's Gospel and chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Now a final verse in the book of the Lamentation. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation. Lamentation chapter 1. And verse 12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow, like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me. For with the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Now we trust the Lord will bless what we have heard, with these scriptures that we have read together. I would like tonight, as we find in each one of them, souls that were pleading. In the Gospel by Luke chapter 13, we have read of a dresser. A fig tree had been planted in a vineyard, and there was no fruit. The husbandman said, cut it down. The dresser said, give it another chance. Let me dig about it. Let me fertilize it. And we'll see if it brings forth fruit. And if it doesn't bring forth fruit, then after that, put it down. The pruning of the dresser. We read in Luke chapter 16 of a man, a soul in hell, and he's pleading. He's pleading earnestly for mercy and for a drop of water. That's not very much, a drop of water, but that was his pleading. In Mark's Gospel chapter 1, we have read of a leprous man. The other scripture in Luke's Gospel, parallel to this one, tells us he was full of leprosy. But he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's pleading. He says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He didn't say, Lord, if you can clean me, or cleanse me, make me clean. No. He knew there was power in the Savior. He says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The Lord Jesus had compassion. He says, I will be thou clean. How was he cleansed? By the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then in Lamentations chapter 1, we have read of the pleadings of the Savior. While this is prophetic language, it reminds us of the language of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ pleading with sinners. And he's saying to them, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see, if there be any sorrow, like unto my sorrow. For with the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. In other words, he's saying to the sinner, are my sufferings, do they not mean anything to you as you pass by? What about me suffering in your stead that you might be saved? Look at my hands and see, I bore the nails for thee. I died to set thee free. Come and rejoice. The Lord Jesus saying to the passing sinner, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Dear soul without Christ tonight, the Savior is pleading. He's pleading with you that you may stop and consider his wound and his suffering. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his strength we are healed. Now, Luke's Gospel chapter 13 is a very solemn portion. Here we find a fig tree, and it's greatly favored. It's planted in a vineyard. A vineyard is a place of vines. Now, vines are only good for bearing fruit. The vines all around were bearing fruit. And here's a fig tree in this favored, privileged place. And the husbandman comes, and he's seeking fruit. But to his disappointment, he finds none. Now, friend, all said in this meeting, you are this fig tree. You are favored. You have been planted in a place and a land of Bible. It may be you've been planted in a family where the Word of God is revered and read and reverenced. You are that fig tree planted amongst vines, amongst fruit-bearing trees, that God has been brought the light from their hearts, and yet he has come to you, and there's no fruit in your life. God desires fruit from every one of us. What is fruit? I never brought fruit or delight to God's heart until 38 years ago. When as a poor sinner, I give God the credit that his word was the truth. I was a favored fig tree. I was planted in a land of Bibles. I was planted in a family who were saved by grace. My friend, that's privilege. And with privilege comes responsibility. God has been coming seeking fruit from that life of yours. Has He found any? Can you look back to a time in your life when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for eternity? Have you brought delight to God's heart by trusting His Son as your personal Savior? This fig tree, oh, it was favored. It was highly favored because it got special care. It was planted in a vineyard. And my friend, you have had special care. There have been aggressors down every night in the basement seeking to lay hold upon God for the salvation of your soul. And they have been pleading with God that He may spare you and give you an opportunity to get salvation. Is there any fruit? He's coming again tonight. He wants fruit from your life. He wants you to put your trust in His beloved Son. But the dressers have been pleading. Oh, give it an opportunity. Now for 3 years He came to this fig tree. How many years has He been coming to you? How many years can you look back to that you have been privileged? Far more than 3 years. My friend, the grace and the kindness of God and the long-suffering of God seeking fruit in your life. He has come to the fig tree, but there's the dressers and they're pleading. I remember one night in the village where I was born twice. The gospel hall didn't have a little room. The brethren prayed in the main auditorium. I remember going and putting my ear to listen to them praying as I was going just past at that time. Whenever I put my ear there, I heard my name mentioned at the throne of grace for my salvation. I fled from that place. Why? Oh, there were men. And they had more interest in my soul than what I had myself. And dear soul, tonight without Christ, there are those who have a longing, and they have a desire that you might be saved. Oh, they're just like this dresser. They're pleading with God that you may be spared, that you may get God's salvation. But God is coming. He wants fruit from that life of yours. And the dressers have been, they have been digging and putting the fertilizer around, and you have been privileged, and God is dealing with you, and you've had thoughts about your soul and where you're going to be in eternity. Is there going to be any fruit? Are you going to bear fruit to God? Are you going to put salvation first? Are you not going to rest until you find it and God's beloved Son? Our brother mentioned two boys from the about 11 miles from where I live. I had a tent pitched there in 1987, just one door away from where they lived. They came to one meeting, and they came to one meeting in a series in Pugwife Junction a few weeks ago. They both worked with Christians. One boy was 19. And the other 22. Their grandmother and grandfather, saved by sovereign grace. Some of their uncles and aunts, heaven born, heaven bound. Their cousin was getting married last Friday. Those two boys were out fishing quahog. That's a shellfish. They had a little boat each, and they came with their catch to the shore, and they put it on a four-wheel grind. Then, for some reason, they took one boat, and they went back across that bay, perhaps about a half a mile or three-quarter miles long. On the way back, somehow, a wave hit, and that boat overturned. Those two young men with large running tongues, rubber boots, they went down. Now tonight they're missing. They haven't got their bodies. But yet they had every privilege. They had every opportunity. They were as this fig tree planted in a vineyard. And as far as we know, never professed salvation. Never got right with God. God came seeking fruit. And he found none. Then God said, cut it down. Oh, dear soul tonight. God's seeking fruit. Is there any fruit? If there's no fruit, what if God should say, cut him down. Cut her down. After all the privileges that you have had. Mr. Hull and I had meetings above a liquor store in Tatanagusha, Nova Scotia. A young woman came to those meetings, a daughter of Christian. I remember one night as she came to the door. I said to her, Esther, what if God should say about Esther? Put her down. Oh, she let my hand go, almost fell down the stairs. But she went home that night, but not to sleep. She says, what if God should put me down? There's no fruit in my life. There's nothing for God about me. And she says, I'm far from God. In the early hours of that morning, that young woman got God's salvation, reading Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. But Jesus was wounded for my transgressions. Jesus was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement, the judgment that was due to me was upon him. And with Jesus' stripes, his suffering and death, I'm saved. Why, she came the next night, she told us, she says, I'm saved. There's fruit in my life. I have brought the light to God's heart. I have put my trust in his beloved son for eternity. That young woman went to Venezuela. She married one of the Turkington boys a year or two ago. There, by the grace of God, there where she is. What startled her soul? Ah, the word of God. What if God should say, young lady, put her down? She has had privilege after privilege, opportunity after opportunity, and there's no fruit, no fruit in her life. The husbandman seeking fruit. Then we read of a soul in hell. On their feet he's pleading. He's asking Abraham. He says, have mercy on me. This man's in earnest. He's beseeching earnestly. And he wants mercy and a drop of water. We are living in a place where there's lots of water. We complain when it rains too much. Rain tonight, the next time you see rain. Oh, may God impress your soul. There are souls down in hell. They would love a terrain in them. They would love a drop of that water right to get into them that they might have their first wife. Just a drop, that's all he asked for. Oh, a man pleading. He wants that opportunity. Once like you, the Savior bade him enter into glorious rest. But like you, you softly answered, well, I'll be saved, but not tonight. Ah, friend, tonight be wise. It's for eternity. Souls on the everlasting fire. And they're pleading. And they're pleading earnestly. But their destiny will never be changed. If you die without Christ as your Savior, that will be your portion throughout eternal ages. It comes to my mind, Robert McElwain. I heard him preach not too long ago. I heard him relate this story a few years ago as he was spraying spruce budworm in the province of New Brunswick. The airplane he was flying caught fire, and he saw an opening between trees, and so he came down in that opening. They have a plane, a spotter plane that watches, and the news went abroad. McElwain's down. They sent a half-ton pickup to the location where he went down. There Bobby McElween rolled out of that burning plane. He was burned badly. They took him up and put him in the cab of that truck. On the way to the Edmonton Hospital, he says, "Faster, faster." Oh, there was pain in the burning. Got him into the hospital. They sent for his wife. She came a few hours later. She walked into the hospital ward. She looked at her husband. She walked back out again. She thought for sure she would never see him alive again. Doctors gave no hope of his recovery. But right across this world, believers who heard about it, they laid hold upon God. Ah, friend, tonight there's the dressers. They've been laying hold upon God for your soul, but they prayed for Bobby. But he lay there for 4 days. He coaxed the nurse for a drop of water. The nurse was told on no occasion, don't give him any water. Finally, she dipped her finger in water and just touched his lips. And he took violently sick after. After he got better, the Lord raised him. But here's what I want you to get. He said, the fire and the burning heat was awful. He says it was terrible. But oh, he says the thirst was 100 times worse. Far worse was the thirst than what it was in the burning. Here's a man in hell. He's asking for a drop of water. Oh, friends, tonight, if you are not saved, and if you go on as you are, you may think you have lots of time. Multitudes of others have thought exactly the same. And now tonight they're beyond the reach of mercy. They're down in hell, and their destiny will never be changed. You think of souls who want to be saved. And then they think, well, what would my friends say if I got salvation? What would my workmates say? What would my chum say? What does it matter what they say? If you were down in hell tonight, what would their words be? Any comfort to you? Never. What you need to get down to business and to get right with God before it is too late. Here's a man pleading. Oh, and he's in earnest. He means business now, but it's too late. Too late, too late. Shall be the cry. Jesus of Nazareth has passed by. He's passing your way tonight. It may be the last time he's passed your way. Tomorrow night you could be in eternity. So could I. But thank God for me. I know it's well with my soul. How is it with yours tonight? We read in Mark's Gospel chapter 1. Here's a poor leprous man. Leprosy speaks of sin. And he comes to the Savior. And he's pleading. Oh, he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. There's nobody around here can cleanse me. I cannot cleanse myself. But, oh, Lord, if thou wilt, if you're only willing, you can cleanse me from my sin. You see, that man had faith. He had confidence in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that he was able to do it if he was only willing. Is the Lord Jesus Christ able to save you? Oh, you say he has saved multitudes. That's right. Is he willing to save you? He is. Are you willing to be saved? You see, there's where salvation came to this man. He was willing to be cleansed. He had nothing to offer. But he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The whole onus was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, if you're willing, you can cleanse me. I can't do it. Nobody can do it for me. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's willing to save you. How do we know? My friend, he died that you might be saved. He went all the way to the cross that you may be delivered from the wrath which is to come. The judgment that was due to you was upon him. Give me your sins, said the Savior. Leave your sins with me. I'll bear the punishment for them. That's what it means, simply, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order that you might be saved. When we come to Lamentations chapter 1, we have read of the pleadings of the Savior, the pleadings of the suffering Savior. Oh, he says, as you pass by, behold and see, if there be any sorrow, like unto my sorrow. No one ever suffered like the Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen people suffer. We have seen them twist in the bed. They had no peace. But friend, the sufferings that we see could not be compared for one moment, with the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were alive in hell tonight, to be there forever, you would never pay for one sin. Not one. The Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, he satisfied the claims of God. His suffering and death upon the tree, God is able to offer the sinners because he has suffered for their sin what they should have suffered throughout eternity. Not only for one person, but for the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, there's value in his death to meet the need of all men. Not one need perish. Christ, the price has been paid. Redemption has been bought. The blood has been shed. Why perish, sinner? There's enough in the death of Christ to deliver your soul from going down to hell. Here's the Savior pleading with you. He says, behold, as you pass by, is it nothing to you? Is the sufferings of Christ nothing to you? As you pass him by, behold and see, if there be any sorrow, like unto my sorrow, there alone upon the cross, forsaken by God, forsaken by man. Why was he forsaken? Because of my sin. What about yours tonight? Is it enough that Jesus died and rose again for you? I remember asking a big French man, Mr. Joyce, and I had meetings in Moncton, New Brunswick. I says, Omar, is it enough? The death of Christ to meet your need. He says enough. He says it's far more than enough. And it is more than enough. Ah, there's value and virtue in the precious blood. Would you as a poor sinner tonight be willing to put your trust in the death of Christ for your salvation? We can stand tonight on the edge of a long, unending eternity, going out to meet God, and we're not coming back. And all we have to depend on is a promise from God. Is that enough? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, what's the promise? They'll not perish. They'll not go down to hell, but they've got everlasting life. There's a promise from God. Would you rest your soul upon him? Are you willing to do it? The Savior, he's willing to save you. He had compassion upon the leper. He had compassion upon you. All the way to Calvary, he went for you, that you might be saved. Don't scorn his love. Don't resist the strivings of the Spirit. Friend, come to Christ. Come tonight. Trust him. You'll never be sorry. You won't be sorry in time. You want assurance in the great eternity. Is it nothing to you, the sufferings of Christ? Do they not mean a thing? Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Now, may you do it. Our God and Father, we cry to Thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou wouldst remember the precious souls in this meeting with Thy Savior. Their breath is in the hand of God. The hand of God has touched some. They have serious thoughts about these matters, but they're lingering in their sin. Remember Lot's wife. She lingered, and she lost. Oh God, we can't stir them on. We can't feel an anxious thought. We pray that the Holy Spirit will move them tonight to seek this great salvation. There were those in this past weekend, death and eternity far from their thoughts. Tonight, they'll never be back. Oh, God in mercy, deliver precious souls from going down to hell. The ransom has been paid, salvation provided. There's life in a loop at the crucified one. Part us now with Thy blessing. But we do pray that Thou wilt save sinners tonight. To God be the glory. We ask as we give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number 77. Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not thine heart. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight?